Thank you, Brother Pat. Before I begin, just a reminder again that more detailed notes are available at the table immediately after the service for those who are interested. Franklin D. Roosevelt decided to find out if anybody was paying attention to what he was saying. As each person came up to him with extended hand, he flashed that big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." People will automatically respond with comments such as, "How lovely," or "Just continue with your great work." Nobody listened to what he was saying. While such responses to murder are funny, murder itself is not. In Genesis chapter 4, we have the first murder recorded. While this was the first murder, it was not the first act of man after they had been cast out of the garden. Genesis chapter 4 begins the section which describes the first act of man after they had been cast out of the garden. Their first act was to procreate, thus obeying the command set forth by the Lord in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." It is interesting to note that this command was given before the fall. Perhaps this was an act of obedience by Adam and Eve, reflecting their state of repentance. They were sorry for their sin and now desired to obey God. In any case, Eve gave birth to a son and named him Cain. The name means to get or to acquire. Eve said of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 verse 1, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." It is clear that Eve was thinking of the conqueror of the serpent who had been divinely promised to her in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. The fact that she was mistaken does not in any way reduce the faith she had in God that this could be the fulfillment of the promise in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Genesis chapter 4 verse 2 is a description of the birth of Abel, Cain's brother. "And she again bare his brother Abel." There is no record of Eve making any significant statement about his name or his birth. Abel means vapor, breath, or figuratively speaking, vanity. It is not possible to determine any definite significance for the name since Eve made no additional comments on it. But one may surmise the providential hand of God in the name given to Abel. For his name, meaning vapor, symbolizes the temporal nature of man after his fall. James chapter 4 verse 14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Thus Cain was the firstborn son to Adam and Eve, Abel's elder brother. This brings us to Roman numeral 1, the Chinese character for elder brother. The Chinese character for elder brother, pronounced in Chinese as Xiong, pronounced in Chinese as Xiong. The Chinese character for elder brother is made up of the Chinese characters for mouth and man. The Chinese character for elder brother is made up of the Chinese characters for mouth and man. I don't think I like to have square lips. I prefer round lips. In the Chinese culture, the elder brother is literally the mouth man or the spokesman for siblings. What about the occupations of Cain and Abel? A surgeon, an engineer, and a politician were debating which of their professions was the oldest. The surgeon said, "Eve was made from Adam's rib, and that, of course, was a surgical procedure. obviously surgery is the oldest profession. The engineer countered with, yes, but before that, order was created out of chaos, and that most certainly was an engineering job. The politician smiled and said triumphantly, aha, and just who you think created the chaos? No, the oldest profession was not surgeon, engineer or politician. The oldest professions after the fall was farmer in the case of Adam and Cain, followed by shepherd in the case of Abel. Genesis chapter 4 verse 2 says that Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. The nature of Cain's and Abel's occupations is acceptable to God. It cannot be construed that a keeper of sheep is nobler than that of a tiller of the ground. Both are honest and respectable occupations, acceptable to God, and one is not at liberty to read into the text a meaning that's not there. Genesis chapter 4 verses 3 to 5 reads, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Genesis chapter 4 verse 3 says that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground. On the other hand, the scripture clearly states that Abel brought the best of his flock as an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The quality of Abel's offering is emphasized by the use of the phrase of the fat thereof. The significance of the fat thereof is in the comparison of animals with animals. Therefore, only the best animals could qualify as the fat ones. The use of "and" in this instance joins the phrase to what immediately precedes it to add or emphasize in this context the nature of the firstling of the flock. Thus, only the best of Abel's flock is indicated in the context. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, the Chinese character for sacrificial animals. The Chinese character for sacrificial animals, pronounced in Chinese as si, the city editor had just been informed that a wire had fallen across Main Street in a storm. He assigned two reporters to the story. No one knows whether the wire is live or not, he said, so one of you is to touch it and the other is to write the story. That's sacrifice. The Chinese character for sacrificial animals is made up of the Chinese characters for ox, sheep, excellent, and spear. The Chinese character for sacrificial animals is made up of the Chinese characters for ox, sheep, excellent, and spear. Spear was used for killing in ancient times. For Abel, the sacrificial animals were sheep that were slaughtered, and these sheep must be the best or excellent. For those who walked in Abel's likeness, the sacrificial animals were sheep, oxen, etc., that were slaughtered, and these beasts must be the best or excellent. By the way, was anyone sorry when the prodigal son returned? Yes, the fatted calf. Just kidding. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The writer of Hebrews sought to highlight the faith of Abel and Cain's lack of it. Cain and his offering were rejected because he did not believe in the commands of God to offer a blood sacrifice for the remission of his sin. This faithlessness is reflected by his bloodless offering. He disobediently offered a bloodless sacrifice, the crops from the work of his hands, wrongly thinking that what was good enough for him was good enough for God. It was Abel's faith that made his offering superior to Cain's. The evidence was Abel's gifts. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 emphasizes the importance and necessity of faith in the life of the individual. Good works are futile if they are not done out of faith. The emphasis is on the faith of the individual as reflected by his good and acceptable works. Therefore, one may conclude from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 that Abel's sacrifice was preferred over his brother's because his was sanctified by faith. Abel's faith led him to offer a sacrifice acceptable to God. By the way, the emphasis of Scripture has always been on the teaching that faith is the root of salvation and works is the fruit of salvation. James chapter 2 verse 24 says, You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. True faith is invisible, but it's always seen by the works it produces. Good works are not the source of salvation, but true salvation will always produce fruit, will always produce those works that James highlighted. The good works which James was speaking of were works that spring from faith and are the expression of faith. A believer's good works were merely proof that his faith was genuine. And James proves his point by speaking of Abraham, who believed God's word and offered his son. And Rahab, who believed God's word and hung out a cord. This one, sorry. New Testament scholar D. Edmund Hibbert says, James insists that living faith will authenticate itself in the production of works. There is no antagonism between faith and works. They are not two totally distinct concepts, but rather two inseparable elements in salvation. Bottom line, faith without works is dead. Although this relationship between faith and works, faith is the root of salvation, and works is the fruit of salvation. Although this relationship between faith and works is clear enough, not everyone agrees that it should be seen in the light. On the one hand, we have those who advocate that the root of salvation involves faith and works. Faith plus works leads to salvation. On the other hand, there are those who say that it is only faith that counts, and thus quite alright for one to live as one pleases after salvation. Faith equals to salvation leading to no works. In between the above false views is the true view that genuine faith, which brings about salvation, will result in a changed life. Faith leads to salvation plus good works. In the time of the apostles, there were the Judaizers who taught a faith plus works salvation, and the Gnostics who taught a salvation that requires faith but not a changed life. The former was ably refuted by Paul, who called it another gospel in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, and the latter by James, who contended that faith without works is dead in James chapter 2 verses 20 and 26. It must be noted that it was not only Cain's and Abel's offerings that the scripture talks about. God linked Abel's offering to Abel and linked Cain's offering to Cain's. The offering is closely tied to the offerer. This emphasizes the gift and the giver as inseparably linked together, so that for one to be acceptable to God, both have to be right. In other words, the attitude of the person, that is, by faith, and the gift or offering had to be in accordance with God's word. This is a tension seen throughout the Old Testament in the dealings of God with his people. At one point of time, prior to the Babylonian captivity, The Jews thought that right sacrifices alone were sufficient to please God. See Micah chapter 6 verses 1 to 8. At another point, after the Babylonian captivity, they saw that sacrifices were not important to God, so they offered the lame and the sick to the Lord. Malachi chapter 1 verses 1 to 14. Both attitude and sacrifice are important because a person's outward action invariably reflects his inward faith. In summary, James chapter 4 verses 3 to 5 suggests an intrinsic bond between the offerer and the offering. The offerer and the offering have been revealed as one whole. They cannot be separated. God does not just view the offering apart from the offerer. God does not just look at the external, but the internal as well. Because God accepted Abel and his offering, Abel was happy. This brings us to Roman numeral 3, the Chinese character for happiness. The Chinese character for happiness, pronounced in Chinese as Xiang, the Chinese character for happiness is made up of the Chinese characters for God and sheep. The Chinese characters for happiness is made up of the Chinese characters for God and sheep. Happiness is found through sacrificing sheep to God. 2 weeks ago, we learned that this was a Chinese character for happiness. This is another character for happiness. The previous character for happiness was based upon man's presence with God in a garden. The present character for happiness shows that although man could not continue in the Garden of Eden, happiness is still possible with God. Happiness is based upon sacrificing sheep to God. Someone once gave the following formula for happiness. You should do something every day to make other people happy, even if it's only to leave them alone. Abel's formula for happiness is different. Abel's formula for happiness is sacrificing sheep to God. How did Cain know that his offering was rejected by God? Some suggest that fire came down to consume Abel's offering and Cain's offering was left untouched. Others say that smoke rose up into the heavens from Abel's offering, but not Cain's. Or that there was a visible sign in the sacrifice itself. Or that Abel prospered afterward, but Cain did not. How God indicated his approval or disapproval is difficult to determine with certainty. What is important is that Cain knew for certain that his offering was rejected. Whether Abel was aware of Cain's rejection by God is not stated in Genesis chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. But one can see the clear and definite depravity of man's heart so soon after the fall. It was thoroughly ugly, for it caused a man to take the life of his own brother. Genesis chapter 4 verses 5 and 8 says, "And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." After God pronounced Cain's punishment for murdering Abel, Cain responded, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. It shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. This brings us to Roman numeral 4, the Chinese character for violence or cruel. The Chinese character for violence or cruel, pronounced in Chinese as xiong. Pronounced in Chinese as xiong, the same pronunciation as the Chinese pronunciation for elder brother. A mother was shopping at a mall with her 3-year-old daughter, who was growing weary of the outing. To renew her interest in shopping, the mother asked if she'll be able to visit the toy store. She would like to visit the toy store that was just ahead. The daughter responded enthusiastically and took off toward the toy store as fast as her little feet could carry her. To keep up with the child, the mother broke into a trot. As the mother approached the racing child, she said, "I'm going to beat you to the store." The girl looked around and screamed, "Don't beat me, mommy! Don't beat me! Don't be cruel!" The startled mother looked around and realized that everyone in the mall was watching with shock and fear for this poor child. Now what? Someone once said, "I consider myself blessed. I consider you blessed. We've all been blessed with God-given talents. Mine just happens to be beating people up." The Chinese character for violent and cruel is made up of the mark X and the Chinese character for elder brother. Because Cain was violent, Cain was the elder brother who lost his status as spokesman and received a mark from God. It is surmised for the broken mouth. The broken mouth. Not that Cain had lost his upper lip, but that he was no longer regarded as a spokesman for his siblings. Ethel Nelson, whom this sermon and previous sermons have drawn from, points out that this symbol is used in this Chinese character to denote killing or slaughtering. Church of Christ evangelist William J. Stewart suggests that the mark, this mark, rotated about 40 degrees clockwise, looks like the Chinese character for 7. Fitting what Genesis chapter 4 verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." By the way, not only can physical violence kill, the violence of the tongue can also kill. James chapter 3 verses 7 to 8 says, "Every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." The tongue is a dangerous and sinful bodily part. It is a source of harm. Physical violence tears the body apart. The violence of the tongue shreds the soul. Shaming, humiliating, demeaning, and belittling into the very being of the person. They can kill as thoroughly as a gunshot. Someone puts it this way: the tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. Well said, right? 1 John chapter 3 verse 12 reveals the reason behind Cain's murder of Abel. It was because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Evangelical leader John Stott puts it this way: it was not because Abel was wicked, but the reverse, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. This reveals the wickedness of Cain. Abel's life, on the other hand, displayed righteousness. This is seen in his obedience to the commandment of God, which John calls righteous. The only biblical record of Abel's righteous works is found in Genesis chapter 4 verse 4. John's citation of Cain and Abel teaches us that wicked people will not kill us because they hate us as individuals, but like Cain, they kill because of our works of righteousness. 1 John chapter 3 verse 12 emphasizes the good works of the person who says that he has faith. Abel's faith is seen in his righteous act, and Cain's faithlessness is seen in his fierce anger, which led to murder. John sought to highlight the righteous deed of Abel, which is an evidence of true faith. In the narrative, God had asked Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Cain replied, "You know, I was trying to save my brother from drowning. I threw rocks at him as he struggled in the Euphrates River. I threw rocks at him to drive him to shore." Not funny, okay. No, he didn't say that. He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" This brings us to Roman numeral 5, the Chinese character for pray or invoke. The Chinese character for pray or invoke, pronounced in Chinese as "zu." Pronounced in Chinese as "zu." Shall I set up a Heritage Baptist Language Center? One sunny summer day, a grandmother and her grandson were walking along the ocean. The little boy, the apple of his grandmother's eyes, was dressed in his Sunday best, from hat to shoe. Suddenly a huge wave broke onto the shore and swallowed the boy up, and he disappeared from sight. The old woman prayed fervently on behalf of her grandson that he would be unharmed. She pledged to be eternally the Lord's service if he would protect her grandson. Miraculously, the little boy was returned to shore unharmed and safe, albeit thoroughly soaked and with his hair disheveled. The grandmother looked up to heaven and said, "You know, Lord, he did have a hat. Praying on behalf of others is very common. Here's an example. A rabbi said to a naughty 6-year-old boy, 'So your mother says prayers for you each night. Very commendable. What does she say?' The little boy replied, 'Thank God he's in bed.'" Just kidding. The Chinese character for pray or invoke is made up of the Chinese characters for God and elder brother. As if the elder brother is praying to or invoking God. The Chinese character for pray or invoke is made up of the Chinese characters for God and elder brother, as if the elder brother is praying to or invoking God. It was a privilege of the elder brother to pray to or invoke God on behalf of his siblings. He was to be the spiritual leader of his siblings. In other words, he was his brother's keeper. In denying that he was his brother's keeper, Cain viewed lightly the tremendous privilege of being the spiritual leader of his siblings. The 4,000-year-old Chinese characters for elder brother: sacrificial animals, happiness, violent or cruel, and pray or invoke incorporate providentially preserved elements of the tale of two brothers, cohering perfectly with the Genesis record. The Chinese character for happiness teaches that happiness is found through a sacrifice. For Abel and those who walk in his likeness, that sacrifice was the offering of sheep, oxen, etc., as indicated in the Chinese character for sacrificial animals. For you and I today, it is the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Abel's blood sacrifice mirrors the grace and mercy of God, who has provided a perfect sin offering in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood for the remission of sin. Why is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ perfect? Let me suggest 5 reasons. Number 1, Christ's sacrifice saves forever. Christ's sacrifice saves forever. The work of Christ was eternal. Christ entered into the holy place once for all, having purchased an everlasting redemption for us. His sacrificial work accomplished the work of eternal redemption for those who are the set apart ones. He offered one sacrifice which had an eternal effect. He Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 clearly states that the sacrifice of Christ Jesus saves forever those who are separated to Him. Number 2, Christ's sacrifice is for all time and for all people. Christ's sacrifice is for all time and for all people. Jesus offered up the final sacrifice for the sins of the people once for all when He offered up Himself. Jesus offered Himself only once and once for all time and for all people. The sacrifice of Christ is the final sacrifice that a man or woman can come to in order to receive forgiveness of sins. His sacrifice is the sacrifice for all generations. Christ did not have to be repeatedly offered up to atone for sins. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 says that this man, Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Number 3, Christ's sacrifice removed sin. Christ's sacrifice removed sin. Christ's sacrifice was not related to the sacrifices of Abel and those who walked in his likeness, which consisted of sacrificial animals. Rather, His sacrifice was of Himself and His own blood. The blood of Christ took away sin. Abel's sacrifice was a shadow that typified the final work of Christ and never removed sin. It could not save because it was a shadow of the reality and not the reality itself. Christ put away sin, meaning that He abolished it. Sin stain was cleansed for the worshipper through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As a final sacrifice, Christ bore the burden of man's sin and then removed them. Our sins were laid on Him and were declared to be righteous. This is the greatness of the sacrificial work of Christ Jesus. There's no more need for any offerings for sin anymore, because the sacrificial work of Christ is complete and comprehensive. Number 4, Christ's sacrifice removes the guilt of sin. Christ's sacrifice removes the guilt of sin. Abel's sacrifice for sin only reminded him that no forgiveness, no finality was in sight. It just brought on more grieving of the conscience. There was no finality with the issue of one's guilt of sin. A remembering and a recollection of one's guilt was the only result that came from the offering made by Abel. The sacrifice of Christ, on the other hand, removes the guilt as the worshipper experiences for the first time true freedom from sin. Lastly, number 5, Christ's sacrifice brings access. Christ's sacrifice brings access. The work of Christ brings a person into freedom and access into the very holiest of God, right into His presence. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 20 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." Abel's sacrifice allowed no such access to God. Do you wish to be saved forever? Do you wish to be one of those to come and receive forgiveness of sins? Do you wish to remove your guilt of sin? Do you wish access to God? Jesus is risen and alive today. All you have to do is to tell Him that you trust Him, saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I'm ready to follow You as my Lord and Savior." If you pray that prayer, He'll give you eternal life with Him in heaven. What about Chinese characters for elder brother, violent or cruel, and pray or invoke? These Chinese characters remind us of what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says about the proper treatment of other believers. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The Greek word for one another comes from another Greek word that means reduplicated. Like an elder brother, the believer always has on his mind the needs of other believers first, before his own needs, speaking up for them as their mouthman. The believer always has on his mind the needs of other believers first, before his own needs, praying for them. This is the fruit of God's love. That selflessness will be reciprocated. If the believer places others first, they will reciprocate with love and good works. They will be provoked unto love and to good works. The word provoke is a word that carries with it the thought of irritation or agitation. It's a word that is used primarily in a negative sense. But here the word is used in a positive sense. This makes the exhortation even stronger among believers. Nowhere in the verse is violence or cruelty towards one another ever commanded of brethren. The fact is, this is sin. Rather than violence or cruelty, there's a selflessness that is to be demonstrated among brethren. Are we at Heritage Baptist Church demonstrating such selflessness? Let's now pray for our spiritual family, our church. Lord God Almighty, Jesus has established His church and again.